Anthony Irwin here again for the Lakers Lounge. Just again, a quick reminder, this is part two of a Lakers-Warriors preview that ran upwards more than an hour. So, hope you check out part one that is right here on this feed as well. And then also, just as I said at the beginning of that pod, quick announcement, tonight, if you guys enjoyed the pressure cooker, we are going to be bringing back a version of that and watching the game together on playback.tv. You can go to playback.tv/Lakers Lounge and you can find that there. Make sure you make an account and subscribe and then hop in there. I'll be bringing people on stage. If you want to come on stage, I will be responding to comments, might have some guests over the course of the game and over the course of games to come. The plan right now is to at least be doing Lakers games on there on game nights. And, you know, I'll still be making my appearances on All Access Lakers and stuff like that. But I'm really excited to get this thing going. And I'm just as excited to get the rest of this conversation going. So let's get to it.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I think LeBron is going to turn it up to whatever he can turn it up to immediately. Yeah. I think the question is Anthony Davis, because if Anthony Davis, if he is able to impose will in every game, I think he can be the best player in a series with LeBron James and Steph Curry and Andrew Wiggins and Klay Thompson and, you know, all these
guys.
He's
the most talented player in this series. Like, he just is.
But if he doesn't, right, if he has those kind of peaks and valleys of energy, it's not even energy so much. It's like decisiveness. If he has peaks and valleys in his decisiveness, when he's at the peak, he'll probably be the best player in the series. When he's in his valleys, Draymond and Looney will kick his ass. They just will. And I also think it's very interesting. Like, Draymond has guarded, as well as one person can guard Anthony Davis, Draymond has guarded him as well as anybody on planet Earth for his entire career. And at times has kind of, like, I don't want to say he's like physically, he's gotten in his head and made life very difficult for Anthony Davis. And even this year, Anthony Davis has kind of shrunk a little bit in the play-in game. AD came back in the second half, but I think this is very much, and I say this all the time, because this is kind of not leadership wise, but as far as like the team goes when player X goes, I think we're seeing it like in real time turn into an Anthony Davis team and not an LeBron team anymore, which has kind of been the plan for a few years. So I think AD is like very much who decides this series.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up AD. He was the last person that I wanted to talk about here because, I think he is probably the most important. Well, Steph is the most important player here, but I think Steph and LeBron kind of wipe each other out. I think we know that those guys are going to show up, right? We know what you're going to get from them if both are healthy for the entirety of the series, which we don't know about LeBron. You know, we don't know how healthy he is. He didn't look his best in the last series, but I also kind of wonder if that was him kind of recognizing, just like you talked about a little while ago with Steph and LeBron kind of figuring out the series. I kind of wonder if LeBron took a more passive approach to that series, knowing he was going to have to throw much harder pitches later in these playoffs. And I also
think LeBron knew that the Lakers,
they could beat Memphis without him.
Yeah. I think LeBron knew the Lakers were winning the series after game one.
Yeah. So I my guess is that, you know, we see better from LeBron in this series. So if we just say that Steph and LeBron kind of take each other out, if AD plays like AD, the Warriors do not have a player who can just like wipe out AD.
Nobody does. You know? That's the view. That's the thing about AD. That's what, like I was saying about Steph.
No, but like, I mean,
there isn't an answer for AD.
No, I mean, you're talking about like from a matchup perspective. If AD plays like AD is capable of, you're right. There just isn't.
There's nobody.
Maybe nobody can do those things.
Maybe, but like that's it.
But I mean also like in terms of productivity, where like I think productivity wise, Steph and LeBron can kind of scratch each other out.
If they do, advantage Lakers.
Yes. Well, but that's the thing though, is if LeBron and Steph can kind of scratch each other out, and if AD plays like AD, that's the way that the Lakers win this thing. That's it. Because the Warriors don't have somebody who can go tit for tat productivity wise with AD.
I mean, here and there, but not consistently enough to win the series. No.
Yeah.
If they AD, can maybe, like Clay has his games, right? Where he's up there, you know, Clay will give you 38 every once in a while, but like, again, Clay is hit and miss too. Andrew Wiggins can get you 26 and 30, you know, whatever, fine. But like, that's why I think it's incumbent on AD to be AD. Like, it's asking too much for 7 times out of 7, but it can't be 3 times out of 7 or four. Yeah. It's probably got
to be 5. It needs to be 4. Yeah, it needs to be 4. At least.
But you may lose a game where he has it. That's what I'm saying. That's true. So I think it has to be 5 or 6.
The Lakers lost one of those AD games in the last series, right? I mean, he had 31-19.
I think he had 38-20 and they lost.
Yeah. So, the thing with AD that makes me nervous in this series is that, like, against Memphis, he was able, because I think he was a singularly bad matchup for Memphis because Ja has to do all of his stuff at the rim. Mm-hmm. Steph doesn't have to. And, like, against Memphis,
against. Yeah. We haven't even mentioned Jordan Poole, who's been pretty terrible. But like against Steph, Clay, and Jordan Poole, that drop it's just a losing strategy.
But like for AD against Memphis, he wasn't great offensively. Like he had a couple good games, but like for the entirety of the series, like I thought it was a pretty meh offensive effort from AD.
Fine, I agree.
By his playoff standards, what he's capable of. But he was able, because of how terrible a matchup he is for Memphis specifically, he was able to make up for being meh offensively with being absolutely special defensively.
He was the destroyer of worlds defensively.
I'm not even kidding, man. I think that's like one of the best, maybe the best defensive series I have ever seen.
I don't have an argument like against that. I don't disagree at all.
Unbelievable.
Destroyer of worlds.
Yeah. But
guys seeing ghosts in the paint, like guys just pump faking when he wasn't there. He was terrifying.
Transition. He had guys like attempting reverse layups, like poor Tyus Jones, reversing an attempt, attempting a reverse there.
Hold on. AD just blocked another shot in a series that's over.
I just picture Tyus Jones. Shot. Like he's sleeping. Oh shit.
I said Steph is the boogeyman. Like AD defensively turned into the boogeyman, right? He had guys seeing ghosts and guys just didn't want to be there. He did not want to, and especially as you mentioned for Ja, who does so much of his work in the paint, like Ja didn't want to be there either. Ja was like,
I don't think AD can have that kind of series against the Warriors because their success isn't as predicated as Memphis's to like get into the paint. Like they don't have to. They are really good when they get into the paint. And honestly, it's over if Golden State is able to get into the paint. Like you cannot let them beat you from the perimeter and on the interior. That's when you're losing 130 to 101. But like with AD in this series defensively, I think he can still be good. He's still AD, you know, and I think he can swallow up portions of the court, and he's obviously going to have a better series against Looney than Domantas Sabonis did.
This is a versatility defensive series for AD because you're right. He's not going to just get to camp in the paint and beat up shots all over the place.
Yeah, but like
he is the
he MVP. Has to be better offensively to make up for the step back that I think he's going to take compared to the Memphis series.
Well, I I mean, yes, obviously he has to be better offensively. Or he has to be like more consistent offensively, I think is what it is, because he had some great offensive games. But I think this is a versatility because he's not just going to get to hang in drop coverage. I mean, if the Lakers just play drop coverage like they played against Memphis and is their base defense, they'll probably get swept because you just can't. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You cannot. You cannot do that against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole. You just can't.
Yeah,
you lose. If you do that, you lose.
But the pool looks broken. Like
Poole does look. Yeah, Poole does look broken. But one way to get him unbroken is to play drop coverage and play pick and roll.
just give him wide open shots.
Just give him butt naked, wide open, walk up threes is how you get him unbroken. AD's going to block 8 of his shots at the rim. Poole will just have these forays into the rim, at the rim for no reason. The AD will just destroy and Poole will fall down, pretending like he got fouled, hopefully see a baddie in the crowd, try to talk to her and get her number, forget that he has to run back and play defense. But I think this is where AD's versatility, because AD is, or, you know, is one of the best shot blockers in the league. One of the best, like, just center fielders to cancel out other people's mistakes. But he is also capable. I mean, as capable as a 6'11 guy is going to be at dancing with Steph on the perimeter. So I think this is going to be a much more switch heavy series for the Lakers. It has to be. Now, would I rather Vando is guarding Steph on the perimeter than AD? Yes. But to have somebody that is capable of, like Draymond, right? Like Draymond is not the shot blocker. He used to be a very good shot blocker. He's not anywhere near the shot blocker as AD anymore.
Yeah.
But he also can switch, right? And to have somebody that can do both of those things is a huge advantage for the defense. So I think this is going to be, I think this is an AD series. I think AD is the key to the entire series. But if they try to play, if again, I'm going to have a conversation about this. If they try to play drop coverage, even in pockets, they'll just lose. I mean, you can, if Steph's off the floor, fine. But if you just try to play drop coverage, you're going to lose. I think the other key, other than AD, is the Warriors' turnovers, because the Lakers are not a great half court offense, but the Warriors throw the ball all over the gym. And so I think even especially like early in game one, that can be a method that if the Warriors are not as focused as they need to be, that the Lakers can, you know, start game one 18-7 or something like that, because the Warriors just turn the ball over a ton. So I think AD's, like, and this is not like a statistical thing, but just AD's focus, effort, energy level, and Warriors turnovers, I think are the two keys to the series.
Yeah, the Lakers being able to get out in transition is a grand equalizer for, because Golden State is a significantly better half court offense than the Lakers, and I don't know if the stats back that up. I'm just saying, like, in terms of weapons and stuff, like they are a lot better.
They do
at that stuff.
They do.
But
they were 1-2 for most of the season. They were teams 1-2 in pace. The Lakers fell back a little bit after the trades. And so both kind of want to play fast. I did not like the Lakers playing fast against Memphis, because Memphis is a terrible half-court offense, especially when AD can just, you know, just turn Ja into, like, I don't know what to do here. But I thought desperation mattered. So this was in game five, where Memphis was, obviously, you can't fake desperate. I say it all the time. Where Memphis was more desperate, I think that a fast-paced game feeds into the more desperate team, and you can kind of slow it down and choke the life out of that desperation if you execute in the half court. And I thought that the Lakers were a better half court execution team than Memphis. I think this series, the Lakers have to play faster. I think the Lakers will try to play faster, but I think they have to, and especially try to feed off Warriors turnovers, especially in LA. And by the way, shout out to the crypto crowd, because
they've been great.
It's been cracking. And that maybe you feed into a little insecurity about the Warriors road stuff. So, I mean, it's going to be tough, though. I think this is going to be an all-timer.
I think odds makers are right to have Golden State as the favorite coming into this series. Matchup-wise, home court-wise, all of that stuff is going to matter. I do, however, see a path. And look, So the bet I placed in this series...
You got your dirty money? You betting Warriors? You betting Warriors so Avery can get donuts? You got your dirty money?
I bet the Lakers to win. So I placed two bets. I bet I have a hedge bet that I had. That's just like the Lakers to win or the Warriors to win. It's like a $100 bet to win $60 just to to have as security. But the bigger and the bet that the I am obviously more invested in. I put $200 on the Lakers to win in six specifically at like plus 400 or four, whatever.
Seems like, four and seems like good value.
And that's how I think this plays out. I think the Lakers, like I said, and this is what I wrote for Substack, the Lakers have to like look at it as like a mountain, right? It's kind of how I painted this picture. And when you're scaling a mountain, what you can't do is fuck around. You can't go off the trail. You can't lollygag at certain parts and allow yourself to get snowed in or something like that. You have to find a script. You have to stick to that script and you have to scale that mountain because the Lakers are the underdog here, And I think that script is hyper specific. And I think that's why I bet the Lakers to win specifically in six games, because that's what the script dictates. And maybe the Lakers get some success and maybe some shit happens over the course of the series that allows the script to change. But as of right now, I think there's it's not quite like, Avengers where Doctor Strange was like, I looked at 14 trillion outcomes and only one has us winning. I don't think it's that specific. But I do think like the Lakers, they can't mess around, and I really think it starts right from the get go. Like
I agree.
If Darvin plays 10 guys in the first half, I'm gonna be real freaking nervous, man. Well,
but some guys,
I don't think it's a Beasley series at all. I don't know.
No, each that no, not, I'm not saying
with,
good,
not,
bad.
Not That's with what I've seen is. From Malik Beasley. There is no resetting.
I'm not Malik talking Beasley. About Malik specifically. I'm talking about expanding the rotation a little bit more, reducing minutes a little bit. I think both teams are going to do that.
Yeah.
I do think Malik is probably going to get a chance in this series. I think it's possible.
I just made a face.
Mobamba gets a chance.
I hope you guys
series.
Could hear my face.
But again, like even for the Warriors, I think maybe in game one or two, I think it's possible Jonathan Kuminga gets, a look again. This is kind of, there isn't the desperation, right? In game one, there just isn't. So I think coaches are willing to expand a little bit, try things, see if guys are good for a certain matchup, see if guys just have it that night. And then as you get later in the series or as one team gets closer to elimination, they adjust and shrink things down. I'm not
going to make a prediction, if that's how Darvin is going to treat this, he has to be a lot faster on the uptake. On Bees, because like Bees at no point in the last series did he have it. None. There was not a moment when he was on the court. I was like, all right, these are good Beasley minutes.
He was not good.
That did not occur. And I think in this one, like you can't. And Darvin kept giving him, chance after chance after chance after chance to see if he could have it. I think Beasley gets one chance. And maybe it's one chance per game if you really want to feel frisky.
I think it's one chance per game in the first two, or maybe three.
But yeah, I really think
and not in with Troy one, ever that we've seen not with Troy ever.
Yeah. Oh,
I think each of them can get one shift to see if they have something in the first couple games.
Yeah,
it would not surprise me if by game three or four or five that we don't see either one of them at all.
Yeah. Ideologically, Ham also prefers to go into drop. And I think this series is calling for a lot more switching, a lot more. I don't know if I would ice because, like, depending on the other shooters that you have on the court, if you ice somebody right and they make the pocket pass and now you have somebody going downhill against with a man advantage, I don't really know if that's what I want to put the Warriors into. But like the one thing
the other problem is that used to be that blitzing or trapping and just getting the ball out of Steph's hands and letting people play 4-on-3 used to be a problem when it was Draymond. Like you don't want Draymond playing 4-on-3 because he's that good. Yeah. Now it's also sort of become a problem with Looney too. Looney has become a passer good enough that, you know, he's had like 6, 7, 9 assist games. I think
I'm really hoping that the Warriors can't afford to bring back Looney this year. He's legitimately good. Like, I think you can make a real case for him being like a top 7 center.
I don't know. I mean, that was what people were talking about yesterday.
For what he does. The man
had 3 games with 20-plus rebounds. So, yeah, like, I guess so.
For what he does for the Warriors, I think he is perfect for what they need from him. Yeah. You know, Steph.
He makes $7 million a year. So he is definitely
perfect
for them.
Steph wins that game on his own, basically. But Looney is like a fairly close, or closer than people want to acknowledge, too, in terms of most important player in that game.
He was the only dude that came along for the ride yesterday. I will say that. Yeah. Like, Draymond was incredible. Whatever, but Clay was bad. Clay was awful. Wiggins was bad. GP2 didn't do anything. DiVincenzo didn't do anything. Poole may as well have been playing for the Kings for most of the series.
Yeah.
Did you
notice, like, so when Steph shoots, a certain hush goes over the crowd? Right.
Yes.
Because it's like,
but it's just impending doom.
But like, when it didn't matter who was shooting, if Looney was in the game, that same kind of hush went over the crowd. It was like, this guy's grabbing an offensive rebound.
He's
kicking the ball out, and somebody else is going to get an open three, and he's probably going to rebound it again. He's going to keep fucking rebounding until.
I think the Warriors had 13. I saw this. I didn't check it, but I saw somebody say. I think they said it during the broadcast. The Warriors had 13 offensive rebounds in the third quarter. That's obscene.
Yeah.
But that also, so the thing about the reason why I say Steph is the boogeyman is because everything that Steph does, it just takes your soul away, right? Because you can do everything right, and you just like look around and he makes a jump shot that nobody else on planet Earth would even try. And you just look around like, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing I can do about this. And that demoralizes you. That's why the Warriors would go on all these third quarter runs, because they would just demoralize you. Steph would take your soul away.
Yeah.
That's what offensive rebounding does, too.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing you like, okay, we got this somebody to miss.
Got
to
stop, finally.
Good. We got to stop. Oof. That's tough enough.
Oh, wait, shit, we got to do it again.
Yeah, and then again and again. Yeah. So I agree that Looney, the offensive rebounding, I don't think he's going to be able to do that to AD and LeBron. But Lakers fans better hope not, because that is like that saps your energy and saps your soul, and you're just like, well, fuck, now what?
Yeah, we gotta go again. No, right.
It demoralizes you, and you can break teams. And I think Draymond said this on, I don't know, I'm sure he's already had 10 podcasts out after the game last night or yesterday during the afternoon. I think he did. I saw a clip floating around on Twitter. I haven't listened to it yet, but you know, he was talking about Looney just breaks your will. Like, you can see the soul being sapped little by little. And then there's one you just quit, and there's nothing to do. You just quit. That many offensive rebounds, you just quit.
It was nice. The one nice thing here that the Lakers have going for them that Sacramento didn't is that the Lakers have a lot more guys who can pinch in and help out on the glass to stop Looney from having that kind of impact. Right. Rui is a good rebounder. Jared Vanderbilt is long. And he can kind of pinch in on occasion too. D'Angelo Russell is tall for a point guard. Austin Reeves can kind of muck it up a little bit too. He has no problem going in there and getting hit in the face. And then obviously have LeBron and AD. So that's going to help. So I think the Lakers,
I do think this is time to dust off Wenyan.
Yeah. I thought about Wenyan,
not Mo. I think it's time to dust off Wenyan.
Either of those guys, I think.
Not much, but I think it's time to dust off Wenyan here and there.
Yeah, I think when AD is sitting, what you can't have, I don't think, is the LeBron at the 5 minutes in this series. I don't think that's going to work out, because if Looney is in there in those bench minutes, and LeBron is your 5, then that is way too much tax that you're putting on LeBron in those minutes. You could try to put like Rui on Looney and try to like, you know, gang rebound and have everybody really pinch in. But Yeah, I think in those minutes when you make some more sense, and even there, I think you really, you know, LeBron really has to come in and rebound, and Rui and Vanderbilt and everybody else on the court. If Looney is out there while Wenyan is out there, or if Looney is out there generally, whenever Looney is out there, like I'm telling you, Looney is like Looney. Looney has like rebounding gravity. Like I'm telling you,
funny it is.
I'm just so terrified of Kevon Looney because this guy, that guy dominated.
Yes, he did. But like having Looney that high on the scouting report is just, it's hilarious to me. And you're not wrong. It's just,
yeah.
Crafting schemes to stop Kevon Looney is like, the sound of it is just funny.
Well, because like, you know, look, we know that the Lakers will occasionally go out and they commit their own amounts of live ball turnovers too. Yes. You know, and if they're going to do that at all, what you can't also do is allow Golden State to have extra possessions by way of offensive rebounds.
The Warriors are going to shoot better than you are. You can't.
Yeah, you have to. You have to try to limit possessions in this thing. And
offensive rebounds,
that's
fouls,
where like
turnovers. You cannot lose the possession game to the Warriors.
Yeah, so that's where like Looney terrifies me because he exists to give Steph more possessions, and you know, in some ways, like when the Lakers won the championship, right? JaVale would create extra possessions for LeBron, right? Yeah. And a much fresher LeBron, and that wore teams down. Dwight, same thing, right? Those guys who were just batting the ball out to the top of the to the top of the paint. Or top of the key, and that would allow the Lakers to reset and help win that possession battle.
So you don't think DeAndre Jordan did that at the start of last year? That's not what you're. No, okay. No,
okay. I'm in a good mood, man. I'm talking myself into the Lakers winning in six.
DeAndre Jordan, no, okay,
yeah.
The first however many games he started last year, no, okay,
yeah. Yeah, somehow that didn't turn out well. But yeah, I think,
like it. Keep talking yourself into Lakers. Let's go. I want to hear it.
Are we going to get there by the end of this?
Of course it can happen. Of course.
Yeah, right. I think that's about as far as I'm going to go. I don't know
if I'm willing to say it will happen.
The Lakers
are like the Houston Rockets. Like if I can get myself there. What?
Hey, man, it's the Lakers just kicked
Memphis's ass.
It's the mom and pop Lakers against tech bros from up north, man. Tech billions is you know, yeah. These mom and pop shops, they have a lot to compete with in that regard.
Yes.
So
yes, it's yes. The little engine that could Lakers. Yeah. Throughout history.
The We Believe Lakers.
Engine that could Lakers.
Yeah. So I think it can happen. I'm not gonna go I don't think I'll ever until it does. Be like, it will happen. I don't think the Lakers. I don't think I can get myself to say the Lakers will win in six. But I also don't think though that like, I don't necessarily think that Warriors fans are sitting there saying like the Warriors will win this in this amount of time either. It's a great matchup.
Yeah, it's a great matchup either way.
Like I think both the most confident that either side can be in this is. Here's the scenario. Here's what it looks like if our team is going to win. And that can happen. And then you can talk about the percentage likelihood that it can happen. Beyond that, anybody who is willing to go so far as to say, like, that is how this is definitely going to play out, those are the people who are going to, like, look the most foolish at the end of the series.
I think the other part, we haven't talked about this yet, and this was obviously a big factor for the Warriors against the Kings, is the like been there done that factor, right?
Yeah.
The Lakers, obviously LeBron has seen everything and done everything. AD has played a good amount of playoff games. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in the bubble, and I do not put an asterisk on the bubble championship. I think that's absurd. I think it maybe have been harder than other championships. Yeah. And I'm very fond of my ring from that championship, but
yeah.
The difference though is there weren't fans there.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like playoff experience, that I think is whatever they count, but maybe it's not like count as normal. I mean, just the experience factor, not that the championship doesn't count. And other than that, like D'Lo's been in a few games, you know, Austin now has been in a few, Rui's been in a few, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
And the Warriors have all their guys have just done this, as much as LeBron. And so I think the Not from AD. I trust AD. And AD has, I don't think AD is going to have playoff experience, you know, itis where he wilts or anything like that. But I do think that's going to be an interesting factor for the Lakers. And, you know, it is one small advantage that the Warriors have, but the Lakers having the rest advantage, at least early in the series, I think may be able to offset that too.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see, man. It's
fascinating.
I think after every game, I'm going to feel a different way about this series.
Just the playoffs though, right?
Yeah, I know. After every playoff game that your team wins, you feel like they're never losing again. And then after every playoff game that your team loses, you never feel like they're ever going
to
win.
And then it gets to like game four, game five, as long as somebody isn't just obviously better and dominating it. Yeah. Once it gets to game four and game five, like the adjustments and the counters to the adjustments and the counters to the counters are kind of used up. And then you see what the series is. And then you kind of just go like, okay, who's better?
Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow's going to suck, man. Tomorrow we have a long-ass wait before the game actually tips off. And, you know, that game one, I think, is really it's huge. You know, the Lakers.
I agree.
I think they really need to win this one and to stick to the script and to stay on schedule. And, you know, so far, look, ever since they've needed to stay on schedule, dating back to, like, when they were fighting to get into the playoffs, they have stayed on schedule. Like in the games that they can't mess around in, they have not messed around for the most part. It's when they like have a little bit of success that you're like, okay, these guys are going to trick off one of these ones. But like in games that the Lakers absolutely needed to win, one of which I think came against the Warriors during that stretch.
It was 3-1. Yeah. The Warriors won the ring night opener. And then, I mean, I don't know how much.
They didn't have Wiggins, I don't think, in
Steph missed
two or three of them.
Steph missed, I think, the middle two. And I don't know if LeBron was there, and then this wasn't. Yeah. And the trades hadn't really gone down. So, like, I don't know how much there is to take from it. Yeah. But the Lakers did mostly kick the Warriors' ass this year.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. I think at this
point, I'm just rambling. And the Warriors trick games off, too. That's the other part of it. Like,
you're
like, the Lakers are going to trick one off when they don't. Okay, yeah, well, the Warriors do that more than anybody, probably.
That's why I think game one is so important. The Warriors are coming off of winning a game seven. They're playing at home, and you know, they might be feeling pretty good.
Does that give the Warriors momentum? Does it give the Warriors, like, a breath where they can, like, fall into some of their bad tendency? Like, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I get a prediction from you? I'm not predicting. I'm not making a prediction. Do I get a prediction from you?
Pain.
you're giving me the Clubber Lang. What's my prediction? Pain.
Yeah.
This is going to be all time. This is going to be generational on Twitter. I can guarantee you that.
This is going to be
series 1A of ever on Twitter, and probably forever.
I have like a 51% chance that the Lakers win in six.
No, just in general. I don't need games, just in general.
I mean, 51-49 Lakers. Okay. Cuz like it's 50-50, man. These teams are really they're insanely evenly matched up. They have a lot of overlap in some of the issues that they've had over the course of the season. And it's really going to come down to, like, you know, the advantages that they have on each other. Whichever team most consistently takes advantage of those things is going to win this series. And I know that that's like, yeah, thanks Magic Johnson, Captain Obvious,
a little reductive, but
you know, but like, you know, what it really is going to come down to is like, you know, like, can AD be the best player in the series? Like, can, you know,
if AD is the best player in the series, the Lakers win.
Yeah. But like the Warriors have two guys up front who are more than capable of beating the shit out of AD and making him feel uncomfortable. And that's something that he doesn't necessarily deal with all the best. So, you know, and then Steph breaks math, man. Like, the reason the Warriors have had this run is because they've broken the math of the sport. They have figured out, like, they figured out the equation faster than everybody else did. And then they hyper-focus the solution to that problem. And ever since then, Steph has been like the backbone of one of the most impressive runs in the sport's history. So like if he is the best player in the series, they win. That's it.
I mean,
maybe
I don't know if that's all there is, then Steph's going to be the best player in the series in all likelihood. So if that's the only,
but it's thing, about then, the gap, right? Like if Steph is the best, yeah. So
well, I agree, which is why I said earlier, if you said maybe LeBron production wise, not impact necessarily, but production wise, if LeBron can play approximate equal even. Out Steph or, mm-hmm. or be close, then that's big advantage Lakers. I would not suspect that's likely, but if LeBron can, then that is huge advantage Lakers. So
yeah,
there's your path. And by the way, if anybody was going to do it, it would be LeBron against Steph. You know, at this point in year,
he's done it.
And, right,
yeah, he's the only guy who's done it.
Yes. I mean, there are a lot of all-time great players in the wake of Steph just dominating them in series, right? Like Tatum last year, Tatum's great. I mean, all-time, not yet, but Tatum's great. You know, even some LeBron and CP3 and Harden and Kevin Durant. Yeah, like Steph has done this.
But you can say the same thing about LeBron. Like
LeBron done it to more
the Eastern Conference.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Although there weren't like all-time greats that in the East that Steph was facing. But yeah, no, LeBron absolutely can do that.
Yeah.
Can he in year 20 with a foot that still probably isn't right at 38 years old is the open question, which is why it's on AD to, if AD is the best player in the series, the Lakers win probably easily.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Will he be? I will say this. I think this is the important part. The Lakers have two guys that potentially could be the best player in a series. Then the Warriors don't.
Yeah,
I only suspect have one. Steph will be the best player in the series, but the Lakers have two guys that could be.
Yeah.
So this All is right. fun, man. I hate this, but this is fun.
We should end there. Fuck it. Lakers in six. Let's go.
There you go. Love it.
Wearing an Oakland hat, huh? So is that indicative of your rooting preferences here?
No, absolutely not. It's indicative of my frustration that the A's are going to Vegas. It's my very small protest of the A's leaving for Vegas.
Wearing their hat is a protest?
Well, it's indicative. It's most indicative of the fact that I need a haircut. That's what it's most indicative. This will literally be the first time in my life I'm rooting against the Warriors.
Rooting against the Warriors.
It's the first time in my life.
Hmm.
And I don't know what to do about it. I'm not looking forward to this. I'm gonna be honest with you.
It's funny because like on one hand you're like, oh, it's a win-win, right? But it's
also a lose.
On the other, it's like it's a lose-lose.
Yep. I guess here's the good part.
It's an ulcer.
Yeah. I didn't go. I didn't go in the play-in game. I just didn't go.
Oh.
The Lakers Warriors play-in game. I didn't go.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for. I'm not looking forward to it. I've never rooted against the Warriors in my life, and these next however many games are going to be the first time. And I'm like having trouble processing it.
It's a lot
because I haven't had to face it.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had to face it. They've not been good together at the same time, and they haven't played each other in the playoffs since 1991.
Yeah,
and that was long before my Lakers journey started.
I love Marcus Thompson.
Yeah,
he's but great. I want to know why this tweet is so dramatic. He goes like, as the Warriors set to face the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell is the lone player to play for both teams. The last time these franchises met in the playoffs in 1991, there was also one player who'd played for both teams. ..
Terry Teagle?
Terry Teagle.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't read that yet, but I did know that.
Why is that so dramatic?
I don't.
Why should I care about Terry Teagle?
Terry Teagle could hoop. Terry Teagle got buck. I'm old enough to know this, but Terry Teagle got buck.
No, I people forget Terry Teagle is a bucket, but yes. But like. it was just like, I don't, it's like, it's graphed off. Like each sentence.
That's how he does. That's how he does it though.
But it's just, it's like,
Marcus is the best. I will accept no Marcus Thompson slander. Marcus,
it's not slander. It's a question. I want to know why.
No, there is.
Because like I'm like, I get down to the bottom. I'm like, man, who's it going to be? Is it going
to
be
there,
like,
is a slanderous dad? Nature to the question.
There is nobody off slander limits. Okay.
Yes, Marcus Thompson is off limits. Especially while I have an A's hat on, which I think all of the Lakers Lounge viewers, not listeners, because
should I reply to him? Hey, why is this so dramatic?
No. I will accept, I mean, it is your show, but so I'm not going to make any rules on your show. That would be presumptuous of me. However, on your Lakers
show,
Lounge,
this is all
I will
deal.
I will accept no Marcus Thompson slander while I am in Oakland A's hat. He is real Oakland. He is town biz. I will accept no Marcus Thompson slander while I am in an A's hat as they are leaving to go to Vegas.